I'm looking at the Texans' inactivity so far in free agency, week number one, day number five, and I am convinced of this. Brian Gain right now is putting way too much pressure on himself to hit on his first two or three draft picks coming up in 6 weeks. For this team to contend at the top of the AFC, given their lack of movements, they've got to hit on their first-round pick and second-round picks right now. And that is a lot to ask. That is a lot to ask right now.
I guess that's what it is right now. The number of guys out there that you would feel comfortable saying, hey, this guy's going to compete for a starting spot at cornerback, and you're going to feel good about him if he wins it, it's dwindling. It's getting smaller and smaller by the day. So is that where they're going to end up? I think so. I mean, and I guess the other part of that, Mike, the part that concerns me and worries me is how do the Texans internally actually feel about their offensive line? I feel like for the past 5 years, they've overestimated their offense. Like, and you see it in game one.
Constantly.
You know, when Kendall Lamb was your, well, okay, Kendall Lamb was your starting left tackle because Dwayne Brown had sat out. But Kendall Lamb was on your roster. Like, he was the guy that you thought was your swing tackle. And he started off and almost got both your quarterbacks killed the first game he ever played and started at left tackle. I don't know if they've had the appropriate panic level about their offensive line. And that includes the signings they had last year. So we've gone two straight years now. We've gone two straight years where not a substantial offensive lineman hasn't been signed in free agency, despite the fact that that's your worst position group. It's your worst position group. Not a single player on that offensive line right now is a guy you would consider a good NFL player, and they have yet to go out and aggressively get a bona fide offensive lineman. That's concerning to me. That scares me the hell out, because I don't know if they know the extent of the issue. It's the weirdest thing in the world. I don't know how you could possibly not know it, but there's a chance they might not know it.
It was on the table. Trent Brown was cooking, and they didn't get Trent Brown. Okay, so that's Trent Brown. That's the first one. So I went into last offseason, guys, with the mindset that this is going to be a two-year process fixing the offensive line. But here we are now where we're through the biggest free agent name of the offseason going off to the Oakland Raiders, Trent Brown, with that ridiculous contract. It's a big contract, and I can understand why the Texans maybe got a little nervous when they saw it. But now you have to start thinking to yourself, are we going to bring in somebody who is more than a lottery chip or a lottery ticket? Because that's sort of what they've done with all the other guys on the offensive line. Like Senyel Kalamete, that's a guy who's got upside, but it's a low-risk, high-reward kind of player. Zach Fulton, same kind of deal.
Right.
Chantrell Henderson, same kind of deal. At some point, you have to bring in somebody that is something, you know, like that is definitively something right now.
And that's where I would say that if the Texans had actually gotten Nate Solder last year, he would have been a disappointment as a signing and for the money you're paying him, but he would have been light years better than what you had.
Definitively something. Right.
And you would have, like, Brian Gain probably would have gotten criticism for it. I don't think necessarily as much because the offense would have performed better. So this is what free agency is. This is making up for the sins you have committed. This is atonement. Since we're here, like, in the period of Lent, free agency is atonement for your sins of omission, where you have not drafted properly, and no team had, like every team has sins on their roster. Spots, gaps where they haven't done things the right way. You can make up for it. It's like, what did they used to do back in the day in the Catholic Church when you could buy your way into heaven?
Titles, I think.
What's that? Entitlement?
Entitlement, I think. I think it's, hang on a second. I'll look it up.
You buy one of those things. That's what you're doing in free agency. So yeah, you're overspending.
Indulgences.
Hmm. You're buying an indulgence. You're atoning for a sin. Whatever you want to call it, that's what free agency is. So a Trent Brown, a Nate Solder, or somebody like that, and it's okay. It's like you can stand out there in front of everybody with like a crown of thorns and say, I have sinned. I am a human. What else could I do? I'm going to sin. I'm going to make mistakes.
Flagellate.
So, and that's what you do. But damn it, you fix it. I probably shouldn't have said damn it in this conversation. but you fix the problem. And yet they haven't done that. They have not aggressively gone after that problem, which is the offensive line.
Not even aggressively, not even assertively. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday, we're discussing how much pressure Brian Gain has put on himself in the NFL draft. Let me explain why real quick, Paul. Everybody knows, Brian Gain said 2 weeks ago, we want to build through the draft. Bill O'Brien said, we want to build through the draft. Of course you want to build through the draft. Every NFL team wants to build through the draft because the players are younger, they are cheaper. It makes a lot of sense. Here's the problem now, right now. Now they have to hit on their picks on the offensive line. They have to hit on those picks, and they have to rely on them starting this season. That's where I'm troubled by, that they've put so much pressure on themselves to where they have to hit on those picks, or they are screwed, essentially, on the offensive line.
What can they do then, Mike, right now? What can they do? Like, who is that name? Because I'm wondering, who is somebody that they'd be willing to bring in? I know TJ Lang was a name that has been floated, at least as someone who has played well in the past. But I'm also wondering, okay, well, who else is there that would fit what the Texans want? Which, by the way, I don't think any of us know. I don't think we know what Brian Gain, what Bill O'Brien, and what Mike Devlin like in offensive linemen. Because they have to do something, but they also have to find out who it is that they bring in. Because I just don't want them going into the draft
desperate.
Exactly. I would like them to have flexibility. I'd like them to be able to pick not an offensive lineman with that first pick, or not a cornerback with that first pick.
If they don't have to.
Right. Like, optimally, you're probably going to find right. either an offensive lineman or a corner with that first pick.
To answer your question, Paul, right now at this point, if I'm the Texans, if I'm Brian Gain, I'd sign Jared Valdir. I think about signing Jeremy Parnell. I think about signing Jordan Mills, who Wade Smith has told us about. Wade will join us coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. I'd bring in somebody who can compete at the right tackle spot. That's what I would do.
Right tackles, okay.
To lay this out, so the Texans in spending in free agency would be their way of atoning for their sins, of covering,
indulgences,
masking shame. Their shame. So if we're doing the walk of shame here, just to lay this out for the listeners, this is the walk of shame right now, and this is why you have to. I'll start off with Mike Devlin, the offensive line coach. Look, it can't be neither thing. Shame. It can't be the offensive line personnel shame. Or the offensive line coach.
Shame.
It's got to be one or the other or both. Shame. Right now, shame. They seem to be okay shame. With the offensive line talent, and yet it's not performing. Shame. So I'll start there. Shame. I don't know. Maybe it isn't him. Maybe it isn't him. Shame. At some point, you've got to fix this issue. So it's either Brian Gain or Mike Devlin. Let's see. At left tackle, Julian Davenport. There's hope. There's upside. I don't know ultimately how good it is. Like, I'd be very surprised if Julian Davenport is a solid, like a really solid, like, hell yeah. I'd like him to be your swing tackle. Senio Calamete, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton. Interchangeable, meh. At this point. And some of that has to do with injuries at left guard and right guard. But they gotta be competing with somebody. Somebody. And don't tell me it's Greg Mance. Martinez Rankin is the guy that's the one bit of hope for this entire offensive line. Because he had a rookie season in a league in which it's hard to get a lot better as a rookie. So that's where we are on Chantrell Henderson, who I'm guessing the over-under on number of games played for him this year will be like 3 or so. So the only real upside on that offensive line at this moment in my mind is Martinez Rankin and then Julian Davenport, but his upside limited. It's all hanging on Martinez Rankin right now.
A couple of people texted in Matt Khalil as an option. He was released by the Carolina Panthers yesterday.
I'd bring him in. He's been the biggest curiosity on earth. Like, why the hell is Matt Khalil a thing? Why did he get that contract in Carolina?
It was a really bad contract because they had a lot of dead money when they released him. Now, somehow they got out of all that dead money by making him a post-June 1st designated cut. But Matt Khalil is someone who, at the very least, was thought to be good enough to sign a 5-year, $55 million contract.
Yeah. It was weird. It was like just to reunite him with his brother or something. Yeah. It was strange.
Matt Khalil was a starter at USC who was like the number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft, and he was good early in his career. My random take on Matt Khalil is his career is one of the biggest disgraces in modern NFL history. That's my random take on
You almost wish for his sake that he actually had a cocaine issue or something.
Something like that.
Some kind of explanation for why it happened to him that way.
It's bizarre.
You know what, though? I didn't, I'll be honest with you. It's not like I watched a bunch of them last year. Let me go back and see whether it was just like, sometimes if a guy's extremely overpaid, that's what's bothering you. Is he better than Davenport? That's all that matters if you can get him at a discount. And there's a good chance he was.
We got a text because I think the Texans are putting way too much pressure on themselves.
Right. And he didn't play this year. That's right.
In the NFL draft, 744 guy texts in and says, Pat D. Status saying emphatically, the Texans are looking at the draft for long-term line solutions over free agency. Fine. I agree with that. That is the right strategy. But here is the thing that, this is even hard to fully explain properly, but I'm going to try to do it. A lot of people have said, well, listen, Mike, or whoever, there's not a lot of talent available in free agency. in life and in sports, you also have to account for the fact that you could be wrong on something, that you could be wrong, that there are guys that are out there that might play well in 2019 who you don't grade out well right now.
Right.
That part of the way you fix something that's bad in sports is you add bodies to it on the chance that they actually will contribute and actually be decent. Now, it seems they have put all their eggs into one basket,
right,
which is the NFL draft.
And getting better, like, honestly, the Pat D. Stats opinion doesn't bother me, but, like, that sentiment that somehow you could fix the offensive line in one draft bothers me. Like, and again, it doesn't address the horrendousness of the issue. There's not a single good offensive lineman on the team right now. There's zero good offensive linemen on the team. There are a couple of passable ones, but nobody that you would say is good on the offensive line. Are you going to hit on five offensive linemen in the draft? Let's say four and Martinez Rankin develops and works out. Maybe Julian Devon. Are you going to hit on three offensive linemen in the draft this year?
You're going to hit on two.
You are not. If you hit on three offensive linemen that are viable starters in the draft this season, you're the smartest GM or the luckiest GM, realistically, that ever lived. So, like, that's just flat out not going to happen. There are zero good offensive linemen on the team right now. Zero. Zero. Is anybody listening? Does anybody get this? Does anybody realize the enormity of the issue?
How much is zero, really?
I mean, there's a chance Martinez Rankin might end up being good. Julian Davenport might be passable. Like, Senio Calamete and Fulton are, like, passable. Like, I'm not just, but they're not good. I want a good offensive lineman. Is Nick Martin, does he have the potential to be good, or has he been ruined by this offense?
I think they feel like he still has potential.
Yeah.
With the one extra year.
Well, hey, it's only been 4 years, you know?
Woohoo!